We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ah, yeah. Home run, have it.
Got one there, and that's lying down the right field line. If he kept it fair, it's gone. It's off the pole, a home run. Swing and a fly ball, that's hammered to center. Back goes Marte to the wall. He won't get it. Back-to-back homers. That ball's hammered toward left center. Back goes Marte to the wall. He goes oppo.
It's a big jack for B-Mac.
And Ozzie Albies is up. He's going to drive one. This is unbelievable. Four homers in the inning.
Yeah, it was. Home run heaven. Are the Braves actually hot? Maybe. They're swinging a hot bat. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And another winning day for the Atlanta Braves. It's Hump Day, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning. Good morning, John Fricke. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? I just want to say, man, it's funny. Jeff Francoeur was funny with that big jack for D-Mac. I mean, because it sounded like he was waiting for that moment his whole broadcasting career just to throw that one out there.
Well, you got
to
say it twice.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Yeah. I shout out to Francoeur because I know he was talking about him. They were riding home last night from the game or whatever. It made it seem like that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Jeff Francoeur, man, for dropping that gem on us last night. That right there could make a television career.
Well, right, and again, you got to say it again because McCann hit a three-run bomb later in the game, part of a 7-5 win over the Pirates. Hugh, the Braves have won five in a row.
Yes, and that's great, John. I mean, and, you know, you look at what the Phillies did last night, you're in a good spot. You're in a good spot for this weekend. That is going to ramp up the drama for this weekend. It's exciting to see. You can see that this team right now is a little juiced. You know, look at the standings, and you're right there. And you got the team that kind of, like, set the tone for people thinking negatively of you. You got them coming in this weekend, so it's going to be an exciting weekend.
Yeah, it is going to be a big weekend with the Phillies coming in. Now you just got to seal the deal against the Pittsburgh Pirates and take the game today. A lot of news about the Braves that we're going to be getting into. You may know that Kevin Gausman went on the injured list.
Hey, I had a premature tweet last night because I immediately thought that meant that, because we were talking about it yesterday. And, you know, mm-hmm. everybody was, shout out to everybody on the Twitter and on Solomon Brothers Diamond text line that chimed in and was like, oh, I think he needs to stay down for 10 days. But Alex Anthopoulos said if there was an injury, mm-hmm. that there's a possibility. And immediately I thought that possibility was going to be Dallas Keuchel. That was not the case. But it got me kind of juiced because it's like one of those things where you see what happened and then you hear what Alex Anthopoulos said in the interview with Dukes and Bell, and you automatically think, like, that's the next move to make. But no, mm-hmm. that's not the move that they made. Who was it, Minter? They brought
B.J. Minter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the move that us as fans wanted to make.
No.
But I understand it. I got a little bit ahead of myself in my thinking, in my thought process a little bit, John. You know, that whole cart in front of the horse thing. Mm-hmm. Because I got a little excited when I saw that because I thought that was the move that was going to be made. But it wasn't. But it's coming. It's coming. Dallas is coming. So yeah,
he's going to start. So Saturday is going to be a big day because you're going to have Dallas Keuchel start at Mississippi and Sean Newcomb make a spot start against the Phillies on Saturday. And then they say that Dallas Keuchel he'll start in Double-A for Mississippi Braves on Saturday, and then he'll pitch for the Braves on June 21st. So
we got a date. We got a solid date.
Yep. 9 days he'll be up. I mean, whether he pitches that night, he'll be up. Well, he'll be up right after the game on Saturday. So maybe. Maybe that's what they're penciling him in to pitch against the Mets on June 21. Anyway, that's a lot to get into today from the Kia Studios on the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Certainly your calls are going to be talking about the Braves and whether or not the Braves are hot. They've won five in a row as they hit five home runs in one game in back-to-back games. So, that's one thing. The back-to-back games of five home runs each. Five home runs the day before yesterday, five home runs yesterday, 10 home runs in two games for the Braves. So they are,
and it's been humid those last 2 days.
You know, that's true. You know, what I don't get is what is going on? We talked about this a little bit. What's going on in baseball? I mean, these home runs are insane, Hugh.
Ball, lively ball, John.
I mean, nobody's talking nationally about why there are suddenly everybody's hitting home runs like it's, you know, nothing.
I'll take a stab at it. I think that we're in an era, well, number one, we're in the live ball era, and the fact that nobody really cares about striking out anymore. Maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, they're just letting it fly, and they're getting some really, really – there's been some really, really good pitches. Even the bad pitches, they've been killing them. And the fact that it's starting to warm up, John. I mean, I that's the only thing that I can really think of it as being the case, because look at it. When it was in Philly, it was pretty warm in Philly. When they had that 13 home runs between them and who was it, the Arizona? Mm-hmm. Was it Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's been humid down here the last couple of days, I guess that's what I can attribute it to, the weather and the fact that guys don't care about striking out as much.
I'm not really sure. Maybe it's people working out and they're just much more athletic than they were.
I just don't want them to get to the point where they hit too many and everybody start looking around hold up now.
Yeah,
what part of the game is this?
Maybe it's global warming. I have no idea, but I get global.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just have the suspicion that nobody's really done kind of a dive into, is there something different about the baseball? I mean, I it's going to be interesting to find. I mean, because it's not just like we see home runs.
Don't they have the chip in the baseballs now?
You see some of these home runs they're hitting are 500. I mean, it's just
crushing the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, great, making great contact. You know, listening to the guys break down, you know, some of the hits and everything, just seeing the ball better, I guess, and making great contact.
Part of that, but also part of that is, you're right. I mean, the game has changed slightly in that every team in baseball, it seems now, is in love with the guy that can throw it. If you can't throw a fastball 95 miles an hour at a minimum, or 94 at a minimum, they're not looking at you right now. Everybody is Nolan Ryan.
Throwers and pitchers, big difference. And then most of them are throwers.
Yeah, you don't see, like where do you see the knuckleball guys? Where do you see the curveball guys? Where do you see the off-speed guys? You know, you tell me how fast Tom Glavine or Greg Maddux threw a fastball. I have no idea. None. I have zero.
No, and I think Glav was talking about that, if it wasn't last night, a couple of nights ago, just how people are enamored by the guy who can throw at 9,500 miles an hour.
Yeah, because they're enamored by the strikeout.
Yeah.
And with the strikeout comes the anti-strikeout, which is the home run.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, most guys that paint, you know, has a lot of movement, those guys are like falling by the wayside. Right. You want somebody that's going to throw just straight gas.
And so I think that there's something to do with it in that regard, too. A lot of the headlines this morning include the Falcons at Flowery Branch and minicamp that is underway now. There yesterday, a little warm yesterday, but nice day.
It's Georgia. Yeah, it's don't be human.
It's great to see the team on the field. I mean, Julio made a big old entrance in there. You know, of course, he's not working out because he's got this foot issue, but nothing to worry about, I don't think. But he made a kind of a glorious entrance and walked in, and hey, there's Julio. I was telling David Bassidy, the new PR guy for the Falcons, because
mm-hmm.
We were talking. Falcons have a new media relations guy this year, and we were talking. So he's in from Houston. He's a really good guy. I like
from
him.
Texas.
A lot. I said to him,
most people from Texas are pretty cool.
I kind of sauntered up to him and I said, as soon as the team took the field, I said, I don't know if anybody told you this, but number 11, he's pretty good.
And what did he say? Start laughing.
Yeah, start laughing.
Does that mean since you're gussing up to the PR guy, does that mean we're going to get some more swag? We're going to get some Falcon swag?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you're going to get some Falcon swag? I would like one of the bucket hats, though. I want one of the bucket hats.
Yeah, the bucket hats are pretty nice.
Yeah,
they are pretty nice. I would share.
I mean, you don't have to. I got love for the Falcons. I just can't. I'm that guy, John. I really can't wear, like, other teams' colors. I'm still
I didn't say I would share with you.
Oh,
I said I would share.
Well, there you have it. There you have it.
I didn't put the qualifier with you on it. But you do the Wade Ford show.
Yeah,
so,
I do.
I mean,
that's fun.
You can wear some swag.
I tell you what, though. I know going to these training camps in Philadelphia, it was warm. But the beautiful thing about it is you had the water, like, not too far. And you had the breeze boy, like just being, like just going outside yesterday. I had to go outside for a little while yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, like when I get off work, it's kind of early, but, you know, go outside. When you hit the heat in Georgia,
oh yeah,
boy, you start leaking immediately.
You want
so much so you don't even want to put too much lotion on.
You know what I got to do today?
To go, you got to cut the grass.
Oh yeah,
you ain't got to cut the grass.
Oh yes, I do. Because of all that rain, my grass, it looks like you're tromping through like the wheat fields.
You know what's funny, John?
Madagascar.
I remember vividly a few weeks ago you were complaining about we didn't have any rain. Now we got a bunch of rain. Now you complain about it.
Well,
that's the beauty of being a homeowner. That's the beauty of just like owning a home. Got to cut my grass today.
Well, that's Bermuda, dude. That's what you have to know about Bermuda. Bermuda will sit there dormant.
I think I'm going to do the kudzu grass when I get some grass.
Oh, kudzu. What Brainiac decided the kudzu was a good idea?
I just like the name kudzu.
You know, you know where that came from? When they built all the dams with the TVA, they needed something to hold back the to mound it off. Mm-hmm. And so they imported this stuff, this vine. They said, oh, there's a vine in Japan.
Yeah, kudzu.
Okay, thanks a lot. You know, oh yeah, by the way, nobody mentioned it was invasive, you know, because they didn't know what the concept was when they were doing it. That's why we got kudzu.
John just killed my grass dreams, just like that.
Yep.
He killed the grass trees, just like
that. You ever been walking through the woods to find one of those old cabins that's been like totally overtaken by kudzu?
I don't walk through the woods like that, John. I'm not that adventurous. I'm not, you know, especially down here.
I get through the woods, see an old cabin.
They got bears and mountain lions around here. Nah, I'm cool. I'm good.
I would love to see a bear.
Nah. I would like to see a bear in a zoo on the other side of a retaining wall. No, but not like up close and personal. No, I'm good.
Well, Stanley Cup final is tonight, Game 7 in Boston. The St. Louis Blues, go Blues, go. Look, I don't hate on your Bruins. I'm just tired of Boston having parades, so I got to root for somebody else. I really don't have a dog in the hunt. And, of course, the game's going to be live on Sports Radio 92 on the game as we get ready for Game 7. Our coverage begins at 7:45 tonight. So if you're in your car, remember Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals live on Sports Radio 92.9 the game between the Blues and the Bruins. And God help us if Boston wins another title. Yeah. What was that stat that it was you? Who had the stat about if you're 18
like
years old?
If you're 18, you went like to 13. You've had 13 parades.
That Conti said that.
Yeah.
You've been to, if you're 18 years old, this will be your 13th parade or something.
And you mad at me for that?
Man, I've had two. I don't want to talk about how old I am. Hey, ain't bragging if you could do it, right? Braves slugged their way to a big win last night. We'll update you on the very latest as we continue from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on this very interesting Wednesday. The race is on and the heat is on after CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
We knew it's a potent offense, and just good to, you know, see guys starting to hit their stride a little bit now. You know, consistently, and it could be big for us.
Yeah, it could be big for you if the Atlanta Braves continue to hit 5 home runs in a game. It'll be really big for you. Second straight game, the Braves have hit exactly 5 home runs against the Pittsburgh Pirates as they're teeing off at SunTrust Park.
Little get back.
You know, and maybe that's one of the good things, Hugh, is that we talk about them having to win games at home and make SunTrust Park, you know, its place. And from the first time that I walked in, I said, this is a home run hitter's park. This is a bandbox. And the Braves are finally, you know, and it was good to see, Josh Donaldson hit that big dinger yesterday, you know, and to start kind of jumpstart the offense because, you know, we need him to start swinging that bat hard.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people complaining about, you know, him and what he's been here. I think he's been pretty good, but, you know, some people look at it differently. And the fact that, you know, yesterday he was in the lineup, you know, because he's appealing. He got suspended one game.
Right, he did get suspended for the game, right.
Yeah, which was ridiculous. Right. Which was kind of ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's time for the basket to get heated up. But what I need to happen is, like, it's obvious by yesterday's performance that Mike Fultonevich is probably the golden child out of this whole pitching staff, and they're looking at him to be the one that's potentially going to turn the corner because he was out there for, what, five innings, and he got kind of, you know, touched up a little bit. But it's obvious to me for what happened to Gausman the other day and what happened to him yesterday as far as being, you know, sent down for injury, that he was not in the same favor as Folti was. So Folti has a little bit of wiggle room as far as trying to get back to the guy that he once was.
Well, you've heard Snicker say that he believes that Mike Fultonevich is, you know, his stuff has been good. He's just, you know, been a little
slow.
Bit,
he gets a little slow start.
You know, Well, that's always been the knock against him.
Yeah, but still, it's kind of obvious yesterday that they believe more in him, more so in him, than they do in Gausman. I think that was the biggest thing that I got from yesterday's performance.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, right now the rotation is going to be, you know, Soroka, who's pitching tonight, and, of course, you know, Max Fried and Julio Teheran, Mike Foltynewicz, and Dallas Keuchel, those five.
Yeah.
That's
what it looks like.
And you're going to get that spot start from Nuke or from Tukey like you're going to get from Nuke on Saturday. So I think that's what you're going to go with for the time being. And I think for the moment, if that holds, that rotation is pretty much going to be the one you see the rest of the year.
Pretty decent, but again, now the hope is that with Dallas Keuchel coming into the lineup, you get a little bit longer, performances out of your pitching, your starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because five innings yesterday, that's not good enough.
Yeah, you're taxing that bullpen a little bit too much.
And that's the thing you're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the strength, but they've been pretty decent. But that's not the strength of this team right now. It's the bullpen.
And Braves win 7-5 yesterday. Brian McCann hits two home runs. The Braves hit five home runs. It was the first time the Atlanta Braves have ever had one inning where they hit back-to-back home runs twice in the same inning. Now, the last time it was done, they were the Milwaukee Braves. So first time the Atlanta Braves have ever done that with back-to-back home runs in the same inning, in the second inning, with Sam Richter on an Austin Riley strikeout. You know, one of the things that's funny, they've hit 10 home runs the last two games, none by Austin Riley.
No, he's kind of like, he's not been the story the last couple of days. And that's not a bad thing, John. I mean, you know, pitchers are starting to adjust to him a little bit. You saw that. I think you saw that the last time he was out there against with the Marlins. You saw a little bit of that. Now, how does Austin Riley handle that? And that's the big question. It's not going to always be you every night. And that's the beautiful part about this Atlanta Braves team. It was like that last year. We talked about every other night there was somebody that stepped up. Tyler Flowers, Charlie Culberson. Like, guys just stepped up, and they did what they had to do on any given night. And that, to me, is the ebb and flow of baseball. Austin Riley was a guy for the last couple of weeks that kind of he was in the forefront because, you know, he was doing phenomenal things, especially when you talk about the stretch he had with 8 home runs in like 13 games or something crazy like that. I mean, he was that guy that we were feeling good about. He was the bright spot. Now, you know, he might cool off a little bit, but I still expect him, you know, to play his part and be a integral part of what the Braves are trying to accomplish at the end of the season.
Yeah, one of the things, kind of just a little thing that concerns me a little bit, it's wonderful to win five games in a row, and it's wonderful to have guys like Ozzie Albies hit two home runs in a game and Brian McCann hit two home runs in a game, and to see those bats kind of warm up alongside the continuing Freddie Freeman show here and Austin Riley and Ronald Acuna and Dansby Swanson and all the other pop that's in the lineup, and Donaldson too. But you can't rely on all these home runs. Hugh, I mean, you've got to, at some point, get a little bit of small ball going. I mean, 13 home runs in their last five games, 10 in their last two. Most of their runs are coming via home run. You got to see a little bit of more station-to-station baseball. I think you've got to see some of that, too.
I honestly think, John, it's been a little bit nitpicky right now. I mean, I understand what you're saying, because you can't survive off of long balls. You can't do that. But I also think that right now, it's what's needed for this team right now to get that spark going. I think that the last couple nights, what we've seen, especially since they found out that they're right there tied with the Phillies for number one spot, you've seen a little bit more juice. I think that you're seeing them; they're seeing the ball a lot better, and it's starting to warm up. The one thing that we said about all of these guys is that when the weather starts to warm up a little bit, that's when they start to get going a little bit. And I think that's what it is. I think that they're, to the core, they're still going to be a team that's going to play small ball. But right now, that's just what the weather's dictating. I think it's the combination of the weather, and the guys are seeing the ball much better.
Right, and I know that Alex Anthopoulos is going to make another move. We can see that coming because, you know, for all the problems this year, and Lord knows there have been a lot of them with the Atlanta Braves, and we're talking about the Braves in the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. As the Braves have stayed in a tie for first place, Phillies won yesterday, and they'll play the Snakes again today. They're playing Arizona right now up in Philadelphia, and then, of course, coming here this weekend in a much-anticipated series. The Braves are tied for first, Hugh. They're now tied for the second position in the entire National League behind only the Dodgers. I mean, there's a three-way tie.
Yeah, it's a tight race. No question about that. We were talking about that the other day.
I mean, when you wake up this morning here in the middle of June and say you're tied for second place in the National League,
that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
And you're looking up at the team. Like, and the great part about it is, John, you've had a piece of the best team in baseball, in the Dodgers, in the NL, excuse me, with the Dodgers. You've had a piece of them. And you kind of know what you need to improve on because you've seen them. You've seen them firsthand. Like you know what that is. And right now, you can only get better. Your job right now and your goal is, number one, you know, get past this Pirates series and see where you are against the Phillies because that's your direct competition, your ultimate goal, and that's to win the East. That's to win the East. That's the Phillies. See where you are against them. We already know what happened the last time we saw them. See where you are now and take it from there. Build on what you've learned from that first meeting. That's where you are, and take it from there. See where you are, and take it from there.
The Braves right now, the All-Star game is in Cleveland this year in mid-July. The Braves right now, it'll be interesting to see if any of the Braves are like, you would think that Ronald Acuna might be invited to the Home Run Derby. I don't know that he will be. It'd be interesting to see if he does. And for a guy like Acuna, that could be a big deal because it could mean, you know, first prize in the Derby, in the Home Run Derby is $1 million.
That's a nice little piece of cheese.
Yeah, if you're
even though
Acuna,
he just got paid $1 million, probably that's like, you know, tricking off money. Go off and buy another gold chain or something, you know, buy a little condo somewhere.
You mean so some other announcer can make a crack at him about his gold chain? Hey, the Pittsburgh announcer's done that this time around.
Who knows? I don't really listen to the Pittsburgh broadcast.
So at the moment,
that
the
old
latest,
school mentality, man.
Yeah, the update. If you go into the ballpark today or tomorrow or for the Phillies series, remember to vote in the All Star day because the latest update says that. Two Braves would be starters for sure. Ozzie Albies would start at second base, and Ronald Acuna would start in the outfield for the National League. I can guarantee you Mike Soroka pitches well tonight if he continues to pitch like he is. He's a Rookie of the Year candidate. He's a Cy Young candidate. He is everything about that. So he's going to be on the pitching staff. And I would think that at the moment, Freddie Freeman would be picked to be on the bench. So if you had to ask me right now, I think four Braves would make the All-Star team.
Why not? Freddie Freeman's one of those, right?
I think he'd make the bench on the team.
Why not a starter?
Well, because you got to win the vote. Jordan Bell's going to win that vote.
Okay, that's fine. You know, I mean, but you know, and I'm looking at it from Atlanta eyes. I mean, he's been like for me, he's been the most consistent player for the Braves up until this point. But I get it. So we're talking about a national perspective, right. And people don't get to see it that much.
Well, this guy Bell for the Pirates is pretty darn good. I mean, he's having a hell of a year.
That's the dude that pushed Donaldson the other day on first base with the yeah, he was out there pushing a little bit. See, never mind. I'm gonna keep my petty comments to myself. I don't want to, you know, start nothing this morning. But yeah, he was out there pushing.
Yeah, because you know, as good a year as some of the Braves are having, there's a lot of guys in baseball right now who, because of the home run stuff, are having tremendous years. I mean, they're putting up gigantic numbers across the board.
Yeah.
The Braves aren't alone in this.
Yeah. But no, it's just like, you know, because you see him on a night-to-night basis, and the fact that he's been, you know, he's been that guy that you can pretty much rely on every night, Freddie Freeman, that is. Mm-hmm. I just kind of, you know, like I said, looking at it through just, you know, my rose-colored glasses looking at the Braves.
Well, yeah, no, he's a guy that I would think would, you see, the baseball star team, as we know, is a little bit tricky because of the, you know, the trying to get the bench players and making sure every team is happy, right? I mean, it's not really who's the best players sometimes. It's just the nature of the baseball all-star game. But Ozzie and Acuna, again, if the voting ended today, they'd start, and Soroka would certainly be pitching on the staff. He'd probably be one of the first guys to be in the game, probably being pretty early, you'd think. But you want to make sure that you
on the all-star staff? Hmm? Didn't he get voted for the all-star staff, Brian Snicker?
He was the manager. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You know, I wouldn't put my guy out there first. I'm trying to keep my – I put somebody else. I know it's an honor to go out there first, but I wouldn't put my guy out there first. Put somebody else's guy out there. Let them go first. I'm just saying in all-star games.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'll put my guy out there. I know it doesn't matter anymore about, you know, the pitching and the –
Well, I tell you where it matters. It matters late in the game because, you know, late in the game you could, you know, be run out of pitchers or something, and the next thing you know,
yeah, put your guy.
Yeah, you know.
So you put your guy out there first?
They're only playing 10 innings now, right? And then it's a tie. Isn't that the new rule? I think so, after the debacle in Milwaukee.
I don't know. The All-Star game in Cleveland, though, that might be pretty cool. That might be something that might be doable. You know what I mean? That might be a fun time in Cleveland. Cleveland has changed a lot. I have not been there in a while, but from all the pictures in the video that I've seen, it looks like downtown Cleveland is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that might be something that might be a bucket list thing. Go to the All-Star game in Cleveland.
You ever been to the Jake? Or whatever they call it these days. Progressive, is it progress? I can't keep up with the names of these damn stadiums.
No.
Okay? Don't ask me. No. I still think it's Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami, okay? I can't keep up with the name. They changed the. If it's Fenway Park or Wrigley Field or Dodger Stadium, that I got. I still want to call it Phillips Arena for crying out loud.
No, you don't. Not as nice as State Farm is. No, you don't. Stop that, John Freaky.
So I'm going to refer to it as the Jake. I don't care what they call it. All right? It's Jacobs Field at Progressive Park or whatever. It's, you know, it was easier when it was the, you know, the mistake by the lake. That was easier, all right? And that's the only stadium I ever saw in Cleveland because I went there in the early 80s. Cleveland Municipal Stadium, the mistake by the lake. That was a place. Whew, that was a mausoleum if there ever was one. Hey, how much is too much? Did you see what happened yesterday with the Women's World Cup? Is the United States owe Thailand an apology? Some people think so. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Dunn. 5-0 U.S. lead. Dunn cutting it back. Free shot there for LaBelle Block. And there's the second one from U.S. 6-0.
ESPN yesterday as the U.S. women's soccer team opened the Women's World Cup. They're playing Women's World Cup by beating Thailand 13-0.
Beat the brakes off of them.
And that has some people in their feelings about...
Who's in their feelings, John?
Who? You know, the fact that maybe the United States was being a bully.
Who?
Twitter.
Man, listen. I don't understand how... Like, and I'm not trying to group everybody. I'm not trying to lump everybody into the same boat, but... Anybody that has played competitive sports and knows the grind and how hard it is to play any of your respective sports, not only that, but to get to the World Cup and know how on this stage, it's like you practice for, 4 years before you get a chance to be in this position. I mean, you can't possibly understand what that means. You're looking at it from the standpoint of you were the guy or the gal that got celebrated on when you lost. In a situation like that, not knowing how hard what work it took to get to that point. Thailand, the last time I checked, they put their best team out there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't good enough. Sometimes that's the reality of it. That's the reality of the situation. You just weren't good enough. And you got to go ahead and eat that big old turd and work on get better.
Interesting
get
little better. Side note to this destruction. Tiffany Sampao is a backup goalkeeper for Thailand, and I was kind of hoping she'd get in the game. She plays for Kennesaw State.
Oh,
yeah? Yeah, but she didn't get in the game. They left their number one goalie in there to take the brunt of it. The United States led 3-0 at the half and then scored 10 goals in the second half. That's a record for most goals in a half. 5 goals by Alex Morgan of the United States.
She's a beast.
Man, is a record. Of course, you know, she's the star of the team. And she had 5 by herself in that 13-0 run. And then that got everybody going, well, you know, you're not being, you know, kind. Look, there are reasons here. That you can't take – there's no mercy rule for a reason. And the reason there's no mercy rule is because aggregate goals count, you know, and so when you have to, you know, total up all the goals that you score versus the goals you allow, if that's a tiebreaker to get you to the next round, you need every goal you can get. So if you have a chance to score – if they could have scored – look, they were ahead 13-0, Hugh, and in stoppage time trying to make it 14. Because aggregate goals count, because they can't know if another team goes out and beats Thailand 15-0.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? It's usually the people that have the most to say don't really understand how it works. Like they just want to get on their soapbox and complain about something that you fully don't understand. You know, why are you scoring so many goals? Because it makes a difference. It makes a big difference. So it's one of those things where I suggest. We as a society, before we start jumping on folks and saying what's wrong and what's right, maybe do a little bit of research first, because I think we all get up in our feelings and we don't really understand what's going on. You don't understand the rules. You just see it for on the surface, and you don't want to get deeper into it to find out what's really going on.
Sean in Athens wants to jump in onto this on the phone lines at 404-741-0929. Hey, Sean.
Hey, fellas, how are y'all doing this morning?
How you doing?
Hey, well, first off, let's just go ahead and acknowledge if the ladies hadn't scored that many goals, nobody would be giving them 5 seconds on the airwaves.
Preach.
And we already know that Preach. We need to break off a piece for these ladies and pay them their money because the men's team ain't worth 2 cents. But that's a whole nother story for another day, I imagine. John, you mentioned the goal differential, and that's something to be acknowledged and whatnot. But Hugh, you were on to a point there. It would have been disrespectful for the ladies to let off the gas in this particular situation. You know, if it was a regular international friendly, I can imagine they would have shut it down after a few goals and gone about their business and put in some more reserves. But this is the world stage. This is the best of the best. And if the United States would have let up off the gas in this particular game, it would have been a sign of disrespect saying that Thailand was not worthy of our best effort. And I would bet that many of the Thai folks and folks that know soccer and competitive sports would agree with that, that if you're on the world stage and if you're playing the best of the best, You get what's coming to you, and you take your lickings where you get them, and if you get a chance to pour it on, you pour it on. So,
right, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's the way it kind of works here. I mean, Thailand exceeded expectations by some accounts. They were in the last World Cup. They're in this World Cup, but they weren't expected to make this World Cup. They did. And so, you know, look, I hope that they have better success going forward. Keep in mind, the United States is the number one team in the world. This is not men's soccer. The United States women are, you know,
a beast.
The beast, right.
They've been beasting for a while, too.
You know, so, and they've got a lot to prove here in terms of winning this World Cup, though, because their hold on number one is a little tenuous. There are other, you know, nations that have really stepped their game up that have become really good at women's soccer. It used to be the United States so dominated the game, not the case anymore. There are six or seven nations that could win this World Cup that have really made women's soccer much more of an emphasis for them. So, yeah, look, you can't help it. I mean, I know they were celebrating a little bit. That was another thing, Hugh. How many people were celebrating, you know? I mean, they're celebrating when it was 11-0 and 12-0 and 13-0.
Bruh, these women are afterthoughts for what, 4 years? Remember, who was it, Brandi Chastain that took his shirt off?
Yep, right.
Remember they made a big to-do about
that?
That
goal against China.
I would venture to say outside of soccer people and people that knew the game, knew who she was. Until she did that.
Yeah, right.
And she brought that to the forefront. I don't have a problem, especially the way, think about it like this, the way that we handle women's sports here in America as a whole. Think about that. And the fact that the WNBA is playing right now, and we don't even talk about that. I mean, and we have some world-class Olympic athletes on these teams. We don't even talk about that. So for you to be in your feelings about something that happens, what, every 4 years? And to go out there and celebrate the fact that, you know, you for 4 years, we got all this built-up, pent-up frustration, and you go out there, you win a game like that. Man, get out your feelings. Get out your feelings. Go read a book. Go find out about soccer a little bit before you start, you know, like trying to chastise these young ladies for going out there and just celebrating something that they've been working hard for 4 years.
Right.
Four whole years.
Mallory Pugh scored her first ever goal. Alex and Marietta. Alex.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, guys. I think everyone's talking about, you know, they should have laid back. It was too brutal. They're too sensitive. That's what's wrong with this generation and society nowadays is they're too soft. These are pro athletes. You're going out to win the game the best possible way. And that's exactly what Team USA did. Props to the women's team. I'm excited for the World Cup. I think it's going to be a pretty easy dub for our girls' squad. Last thing I want to say is, guys, why are Kevin Gausman and Mike Fulton-Evans so bad? We've got to send them away. Thank God.
Well, you know, I mean, he's on the injured list right now.
No,
so.
Kevin Gausman, they sent him down. He had, what, plantar fasciitis or something like that?
Plantar fasciitis, right. You know.
Ooh, I said it right.
Yeah. Atlanta United, hopefully they'll get their game in today. They couldn't play yesterday. Bad field conditions, that's what they said anyway. Minicamp, what did Vic say? Did you hear what Vic Beasley said yesterday? Oh, you got to hear it. And we're going to play it for you, and we're going to react, and so are you. That's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.